Hello there, hello there, hello there. Welcome. You are listening to Practical Living right here on your Practical Station, Adventist World Radio. And I am your practical host, Dumisani Mfune. I'm really glad you've chosen to spend this time with me. There's a lot that I've prepared for you. Guys, this is Tuesday, so boys and girls, I hope you're nearby because I have a story for you. And then we're going to consider our health and how we can take better care of it. But first, boys and girls, this is your time. Gather around. Tell your parents to put up the radio. This is your story.
Hi there, boys and girls. My name is Auntie Debbie, clickety-clack, and I have another great story for you by Uncle Arthur, and it's called A Brave Little Girl. Let's have a story about birds this time. Dick, he was a very pretty canary, and he belonged to a little girl called Minnie, who lived in the country with her father and mother. Now Dick, he had been a birthday present to Minnie, and she loved him very much indeed. Although, she had a beautiful golden cage for him, and yet Dick, he often went out, and he perched on Minnie's shoulder, and he also sat at the side of her plate at meal times. Minnie only had to whistle quietly, and Dick, he would start singing a most glorious song that filled the whole house with music. Then one day, little Dick disappeared. His cage door was open, but no Dick was to be seen. Minnie, she searched the house from top to bottom, but she couldn't find him. And then she went out into the garden and peered into all the bushes, listening for any cheep, cheep, cheep that might tell her where her precious little bird was. But still, there was no Dick. Minnie talked very seriously to the dog and the cat, and she was very suspicious about them, especially the cat. But they both looked very innocent. 3 days passed, but there was still no Dick. And poor little Minnie, she was heartbroken. She felt that she would never be able to get such a beautiful bird again, so tame and so loving as her dear little Dick. And then one morning a neighbor called. "I think I know where your canary is," he said. "Do you really?" said Minnie. "Where?" "Come with me, and I will show you. I think I heard him calling." "Well, let's go at once," said Minnie, dashing out of the house and dragging her neighbor with her. "This way." And then they walked into the direction of the well. And when they reached and looked over, "Listen." They both listened. And then from far down in the darkness, they heard a faint cheep, cheep, cheep. "It's Dick! It's Dick!" cried Minnie. "My poor little Dick. Oh, how are we going to get him out?" "Well, you should go tell Father. Perhaps he will think of a way." They both ran to the house. "We found him," said Minnie. "He's down in the bottom of the well. How are we going to get him out, Daddy?" "Oh, I'm afraid that's impossible," said Dad. "It's very deep, and I haven't a ladder long enough to reach to the bottom." "We can't leave our little Dick there," said Minnie. "Let me go down there and get him." "You go down the well?" said Father. "Yes, I'll go. You let me down in the bucket, and then I'll pick him up, and you can pull me to the top again." "We couldn't do that," said Father. "But we must," said Minnie. "It'll be all right. Do, Daddy, come, please. Do it now, before Dick dies." Minnie was so in earnest that Daddy gave in, and then they went to the well together, and again they looked down, down the deep, dark hole. "Are you sure you want to go down there?" said Father. "Oh, yes, yes, of course," said brave little Minnie. "Can't you hear little Dick calling me?" And then without another word, she stepped into the bucket. Well, Daddy, he tied the rope very tightly around her so there was no possibility of her slipping out. And then very, very carefully, he lowered her down over the edge. Down, down, down went Minnie. Oh, how dark it was. But as she descended, Dick's little cheep, cheep, cheep came louder and louder. It seemed as though he had guessed Minnie was coming to his rescue. And Minnie didn't mind the dark for a bit. She was so anxious to save her little friend. Splash! At last the bucket touched the water, and Dad stopped letting out the rope. Dick! Dick! Cried Minnie, peering through the darkness. And yes, there was the poor frightened little bird perched on a little ledge on the side of the well. She reached out her hand, picked him up, signaling to her father to pull them both up again. And up they went, together. And at last they were in the sunshine again. Father was holding his brave little girl, thankfully, in his arms. How proud he was of her. But weren't you afraid? He said to her. No, Daddy, of course I wasn't. I knew you were holding the rope. Well, said Dad, as he was telling the story at home that evening, I hope we shall always trust our Heavenly Father, as Minnie trusted me. Boys and girls, I hope we do. When things all seem dark around us, we may look up and see someone looking down at us in love. And yes, he holds the rope. And someday he will draw us up to himself and live with him forever. And that story was called A Brave Little Girl.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Practical Living, right here on your practical station, Adventist World Radio. That was Aunt Debbie encouraging us all, young and old, that we have nothing to fear as long as we know who is on our side. God is always watching us. He sends his angels to take care of us. And one day we will see him and we will know that truly he had been protecting us. Guys, we now want to consider our health. Is there anything that you would like us to talk about concerning your health? A disease that you've heard about or something happening in your area? Write into us. Later on, I'll give you the address that you can use. But now, let us hear from Erone.
Good day. I'm Erone, and you're listening to Practical Health. Today, I want to talk to you about heart attacks. The World Health Organization identifies the heart as the second leading cause of death in the world. Every year, almost 2.5 million people die of heart disease in countries both rich and poor. Today, I want to talk to you about heart disease and what you can do to protect yourself against damaging your heart. God has made our bodies marvelously efficient machines, and if we care for our bodies, they can serve us reliably our entire lives. Bad habits, however, can seriously damage these wonderful machines. The specific disease I want to talk to you about today is the most common form of heart disease, a narrowing of the vessels that supply blood to the heart muscle. Even though there is a lot of blood inside the heart, the blood supply to the heart muscle itself comes through tiny blood vessels on the heart's outer surface. Now, I know this might seem a little complicated, but just stay with me. These vessels measure only 4 to 5 millimeters in diameter. That's about 2/10 of an inch. If they become narrowed, they can clot off. Then the heart muscle doesn't get the nutrition it needs to stay alive, and it dies, causing what we all know as a heart attack. Narrowing almost always occurs because cholesterol, a fatty material in the blood, collects in the walls of the vessel. It takes decades for these collections to create narrowing, so the process can go on for years with no symptoms at all. Once symptoms start, they are usually triggered by emotional stress or physical activity. There is usually severe pain in the chest that feels like heavy pressure or tightness that radiates down the left arm. Shortness of breath or extreme fatigue can occur. and the symptoms usually stop within minutes after the physical activity has stopped. The specific conditions that allow narrowing of the blood vessels are high cholesterol levels in the blood because of the fatty foods we eat, high blood pressure, diabetes, and of course smoking. All of these conditions cause damage to the inner lining of the blood vessel, and once that lining is damaged, cholesterol tends to collect at the site of injury. Excess weight, a lack of physical exercise, and unrelieved emotional stress tend to make the effects of the known causes more damaging. So now I know the question you're probably asking is, Iran, how can I avoid getting a heart attack? Well, the key to this is to lead a healthier lifestyle. The specific things you can do to help yourself include stopping smoking if you smoke, getting down to a normal weight if you're overweight, learning to reduce or to better manage your stress, staying physically active, getting your blood pressure under control, and eating healthier foods. The underlying problem here is related to cholesterol. What is the major source of cholesterol? It is meat and dairy products. A heart-healthy diet is low in cholesterol, so it is low in meat and dairy products. It is based on eating lots of fruits, vegetables, and whole grains because these contain no cholesterol and they're also low in sodium, so they help you control your blood pressure. If you must eat meat, eating one or two servings of fish a week is your best option. Fish contain an unsaturated fat called omega-3, which is thought to reduce inflammation throughout the body. Omega-3 is reported to lower the risk of sudden death if you have a heart attack. Some fish have high levels of this omega-3. Those fish are salmon, herring, and to a lesser extent, tuna. Medicines do not cure the underlying problem, but some medicines do help to delay a heart attack. They can help to keep our narrowed vessels open for longer. A low dose of aspirin, about 1/4 of a regular aspirin tablet, taken once a day, will reduce the tendency of blood to clot in a narrowed vessel. Aspirin is not appropriate in people who have a bleeding disorder or in people who are taking another blood thinner. So please ask your doctor before starting to take low-dose aspirin. Nitroglycerin tablets, sprays, and patches relax the vessels leading to the heart, so they can help control the symptoms that narrowed blood vessels can cause. And finally, in people who have high blood pressure or high cholesterol, there are medications that lower blood pressure and lower cholesterol. I leave you with the thought that God created your body as a wonderful machine that needs to have proper maintenance to run as it should. It can become damaged by years of bad diet and lifestyle. But even if you have not been careful in the past, there is hope. You can lower your risk of having a heart attack by making changes in your lifestyle. Things like stopping smoking, getting down to normal weight, learning to reduce or to better manage your stress, staying physically active, getting your blood pressure under control, and eating healthier foods. Recent studies have been done in people with heart disease, looking at the effect of changes in lifestyle and diet. The numbers of heart attacks were shown to be reduced by more than 1/2, and the cholesterol collections in the vessels to the heart were significantly decreased in size in people who changed their lifestyle and diet as compared to people who did not change their lifestyle and diet. So, try to lead a healthier lifestyle starting today.
That's right, guys. We can be healthier. We need to take care of our health. I've got a lot of material that I want to give you that will help you take better care of your health. Write into us and request it. Our postal address is Adventist World Radio, P.O. Box 22, Somerset West, South Africa, 7129. Our email address is awr@sidmedia.org. Write into us and I will get that material to you so that you can start being healthier even today. Right now, guys, I want you to listen to this interview I had with, just listen to the interview and be blessed. Welcome, guys. I want to introduce you to someone who does a very, very interesting job. He's in biokinetics. Doesn't that sound cool? But I'll let him introduce himself.
Hi, guys. My name is Carl Reeder. And as Dumi said, I do biokinetics. For those of you who don't know what that is, it's basically using exercises to treat and rehabilitate people with sports injuries, back pains, and any other sort of health-related conditions.
Now, I just love that term, biokinetics. It really sounds cool. But how did you get into it? Like, you know, what did you study at school? Did you study biokinetics, or what did you do?
Good question. I actually wanted to study physiotherapy when I was younger and worked hard at school and university to get good grades to get into the physio program, and there was a tough selection process, and basically I didn't get into physio, and it required me to do something similar, which was biokinetics at the time. And so it was kind of a divine intervention where God closed the door for physio but opened the door for biokinetics, which is today, ironically, really doing really well. So yeah,
so did you decide, like, from high school that's what you wanted to do, or was it when you got to college and then you figured that's what you want to do?
Right through, when I was 3-4 years old, I was drawing pictures of the spine and drawing pictures of muscles. So I've always had a passion for it growing up, and that's why for me physio was I only knew of physio growing up as a child. I wasn't aware of biokinetics, but as I got older, this biokinetics became into our programs, and it was on a similar line, doing muscles and sports injuries.
So from the time you're about 3, you were interested in the human body, in the spine. So then I guess you had to work hard in your science subjects in high school.
That's correct. Focusing hard on the biology and the science. Most healthcare professions today, you need to get good grades in science and in biology and maths. And then for me, the physiology was a big one in university, just really trying to get good grades. As biokinetics is a selection process. They take the top 10 students after your third year, and then look at subjects like physiology, biomechanics, sciences.
So all these subjects that you mentioned that you had to work hard and excel in, these sound like really hard subjects. How did you manage to do well in them?
I think having a passion is the key to doing well in them, and also finding, you know, putting the time in to understand. I think high school you tend to recite and learn things off parrot fashion, but when you get to university, it's important to actually understand what you're learning and not just understand through parrot fashion. So for me, it was asking my mom's a scientist, which was also had a huge help to explain things and make things clarify things.
So, like, is there any particular like study strategy that you had? You mentioned, you know, understanding as opposed to just memorizing. Maybe you can just clarify that a little bit, because maybe a lot of people think to memorize something means you've understood it.
It's a good question. I found for me the biggest thing that helped was to teach other people what I'd learned. And so in teaching people and explaining people, asking my mother or a friend to say, ask me this question, and I would explain to them what was going on. So they'd say, well, how do you sort this out? Well, how does that work? And I would give them a 10-point, or I'd explain to them how that worked, and that helped me to remember it.
Okay, so like a lot of explaining to other people helped you a lot.
Yeah, for sure. That helped, especially in the exams that I pretended I was explaining to the examiner what I was doing. And so I'd already explained to a couple of friends, which made it really easy to get through.
And then, so how else did you, like, use your time? Like, I don't imagine
you're always, you know, explaining things. Like, obviously, in college, I know, because when you get to college, there's so many distractions that can exist. And a lot of people that I've known did very well in, you know, high school. But when they get to college, it's like their minds are just blown away. There's no, there's freedom, and there's just so many distractions. How did you manage to really stay focused?
For me, I knew there was a selection process of 10 guys, and there's 150 of us. So I really, for me being passionate as a young man, I knew that that was what I wanted to get into. If I didn't do physio, I had to make this 10, you know, selection process. And so I spend my time doing other activities. The university offers extracurricular activities such as doing water therapy, sports clinics, you know, doing your jogs and runs and getting involved as much as I could, because everything that you do was adding to your profile when they were going to choose, the selection process came. So I spent a lot of my time in varsity actually trying to get as many points or as many extracurricular activities done so that I would be selected.
So it means that it was more than just your grades.
Correct.
There was like a whole bunch of other activities that these people would look at.
100%. They want to look at if you'd done any, been involved in sports clubs. Did you play sports? Were you, what level of sports did you play? I played golf to a handicap of 5 at university. I played a lot of tennis. I was in playing a lot of football. And then just general the subjects. If you did extra, like water therapy, biomechanics, step ups, just things that were health related or fitness related that would actually improve your, again, improve your profile at the end of the day.
You know, I've heard people say that when they get to college, they kind of backed away from sports because it takes up too much of their time. They want to focus on their studies. But here you are, apart from, you know, doing well in your studies, you realize that you had to have a lot of sport to kind of help you do it.
Correct. And doing the sport at a certain level helped me to also understand the subjects. So when you were doing biomechanics, because I played the sport, I understood the forces and the biomechanics that was involved. But also just from keeping the mind healthy, a sport has played such a vital role in stress relief, and the endorphins that are released. It's just such a healthy way to combine or balance your life when it comes to studying.
Okay. Now, as a biokineticist, what do you do now? Like, you know, professionally, what exactly are you involved in?
I to give you a quick summary, I basically teach people how to move, how to use their bodies, and how to do exercises safely and correctly. We find that most people have never been taught how to move properly, and then from a young age of probably 5 and 6, they've lost their natural ability to move properly. So I'm instead of treating injuries and giving them a strict exercise regime, I'm actually teaching people now how to use their muscles properly, which saves them having to do a lot of other work in the next 10, 15 years.
And Carl, you're kind of scaring me. I wonder if I move properly. But also, you know, as we were talking, you mentioned that you are a Christian young man. Do you think that has had any impact into your professional development?
For sure. You know, for me, I don't think I would have given up on my career in the health profession if it wasn't for the Lord, who gave me biokinetics. At the time, I was upset with the Lord because I wanted to do physio, and God closed the door. But as I've grown in my understanding of the Lord and His goodness and all His ways are faithful and true, I've seen how biokinetics has just taken off and how it's the way forward. And so having a faith and trusting that the Lord knew what He was doing and He had prepared the plans for me helped me to stick at biokinetics and actually see the value in biokinetics.
You know, I like what you said, because a lot of people, they are focused on one thing. And sometimes that may not necessarily be what God wants. And when they don't get what they were looking for, I've even known people who've kind of just, that's it. You know, they kind of give up on God. They're like, Lord, how can you disappoint me like this? But you said that what was seemingly disappointment has actually been a stepping stone.
100%. I mean, I look back now and I just give God all the glory because it's the best for me right now, and I couldn't be more excited about my field. I wake up every morning excited about my business and what's happening in the medical feel that that's how exercise and how teaching people how to move is resulting in so many people getting healed and helped. And so I'm really excited. And I knew, I guess he knew that 10 years ago.
Well, that's the thing, you know. I think it is important that we as young Christians, we put a trust in God completely, because he knows the beginning from the end. He sees it all at once. Yeah. And we, too many times, you know, as we go through this maze, too many times we are so distracted and we lose sight of the final goal. But God sees it all.
I agree. It's hard sometimes to see his will in the difficult times, but it's important to persevere and to just know that he has got a plan. I think if you can know that God has a specific plan designed for you, he's given you the gifts and the talents, it's good to follow your passions. There's usually that God inspired, and so it helps to know that someone is got your back, who is faithful. But it's also important that we listen and that we pay attention, that we renew our minds to find God's perfect will.
Well, Carl, thank you for your time. And I hope to have you back just to kind of talk a little more about exercise and make sure that we all, you know, move and use our bodies correctly.
No, thank you, Jimmy, and I appreciate your time.
Well, guys, you heard it. God wants us to be healthy. We need to develop right habits, the correct habits that will allow us to be healthy. I've got a lot of material that I want to give you that will help you be healthier. Write into us and I will make sure to get that information to you. Our email address is awr@sidmedia.org. Org is O-R-G. You can write to us. Our postal address is Adventist World Radio, Post Office Box 22, Somerset West, South Africa, 7129. You can visit us on Facebook, drop us a line or two. Just look for Practical Living. Sadly, guys, I need to go. But don't forget, right here on Practical Living, we give you practical tips and practical advice that if you follow, through God's help, will keep you healthy, wealthy, and wise. Until next time, God abundantly bless you.